Miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd at the dough. 99.3 ESPN and a 99.3 ESPN app. That was Pete Shepherd's selection from SP Theater last segment, in case you missed it.
Rave reviews on the text line.
Yeah, I think that was the most popular one yet, to be honest. Nice stuff.
I try to please the people. I try to do
well, you said you are a pleaser. At the bottom of the hour, the NHL is holding a press conference and a major announcement on how they plan to resume play. We can't wait to hear that. And then we'll have our ideas and kind of the natural thing to do is, well, okay, what's the NBA going to do that may be similar or different, whether one city or whatever. Anyway, we know very little about the NHL's plan because they've had the least amount of information out there in the public while all this is going on.
Well, we know the plan is going to be 24 games, 24 teams, 12 team, 24 teams and 12 in each conference, the East and the West, and they're going to have the bye team, the first four get a bye, but they will play a round-robin type thing. The four teams will play a round-robin type of an event, and then they will reseed whoever has the most points. That seems like that's going to happen. But the bigger question to me in all of this, they can have all of that. I want to know where they're going to play. And also, as in case you missed it earlier, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced a couple of hours ago that border restrictions prohibiting non-essential travel between the U.S. and Canada will stay in effect through June 21st. And it's the second time he's extended the restrictions since they were put in place on March 18th, and Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly of the NHL said he hopes that the announcement will not have a significant impact on the league's plans and timeline to restart plan. So, and again, where are we going to play?
Right. All right. So that's at 4:30. We're gonna go carry that live and piggyback off the NHL Network, so you will hear it as we hear it, and then we will digest it quite a bit. So that'll be fun. All right.
And also, just real quick, some of the players are also in Europe now too, in their homes. So.
That's true.
That's another thing.
Well, that would take them 2 weeks to get back, so they got to sit out still. All right, so a little fun in the meantime. Today is National Blueberry Cheesecake Day and National Cherry Dessert Day.
Blueberry.
Whoa, blueberry
so for me. I have a quiz for you, too. Basically, berry or not berry, you may be surprised.
Well, can you tell me what a berry technically is?
I'm glad you asked that, Chris. Yeah. Here is the definition of a berry. This is according to livescience.com.
All right? Or is it live science?
L-I-V-E.
Yeah, how about that?
Way to stall a segment. Okay.
Again,
either way, scientists not named Craig.
It's like a deer that crosses in the middle of a car, you know.
A berry has three distinct fleshy layers. There's the exocarp, that's the skin.
Mm-hmm.
The mesocarp, that's the fleshy middle.
Yep.
And the endocarp, that's the inner side part that holds the seeds. Now, fun fact, a berry must have two or more seeds. Who knew?
Okay.
Also, a berry must come from a flower with one ovary as opposed to a two-ovary flower system.
Kinky.
All right, so you put all that in. I'm going to quiz you guys. May I have quiz music, please? I'm going to quiz both of you. I'm going to throw out a fruit, and you're going to tell me if it's a berry or not.
This is a quiz.
Because you will be surprised. All right, first one. Is a banana a berry?
I don't think it is, but this is probably some technical term that makes. I don't think it is. But.
Well, hold on. Let's go the three. Right, it's got the exo. It's got those three.
Yeah,
no seeds in a banana, right?
Well, I don't know.
There's
Well, there is on the bottom of the. Yeah, there is.
There kind of is.
There
if
is.
You cut, well, if you look at banana, like it's not seeds, but it's like if you really cut a banana, and
are there
you
seeds
know,
in
circles,
it?
Well, not
I always
seeds,
thought there was one at the bottom of the, you know, you peel
a little
a banana,
nub at the bottom.
A nub. I thought it was just like one.
So then it would be a berry if it's got those two.
It is a berry.
How about
a banana is a berry.
A banana berry.
All right. How about a strawberry? berry or not berry?
Well, it's got seeds and it's...
It's got three. It's got, it fits all the three criteria. I'd say it's a berry.
I'd say it's a berry. It's also got it in the name.
It is not a berry.
That's wrong.
It, it comes from a two-ovary flower system, not considered a berry.
Hmm.
Challenge.
How about a raspberry?
Yes.
Got it in the name.
It's got the seeds in it. Yeah, it's got it in the name. It's a berry.
Same as a strawberry. Strawberries and raspberries are not berries, according to science.
Duh, throw the challenge flag.
Yeah, right. Totally.
Is go to New York for the cherry a berry?
Seed? Yes.
Chris, what did I tell you about the seeds?
Probably yes. Probably
gotta
yes.
Got to have two or more.
Two. There's just one, so no.
It's called a droops. Not a berry.
Moops?
It droops.
Moors.
Is a watermelon a berry, according to science?
Yes.
It's got seeds. It's got probably yes, the way you're describing it, because it's got the three layers. It's got seeds.
Yes.
Yep.
Blueberry. Is a blueberry a berry?
Probably not, but it is.
Based on this, no.
It's very healthy for you. Based on what you're telling me, no, it is.
It absolutely is, but I don't know where the seeds are.
Where are the seeds on a blueberry?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Again, these are from livescience.com.
Live or live? Yes. All right. Rapid fire. Yes or no? Tomatoes.
That's a fruit.
Yes.
Yes, it is a berry. A tomato is a berry.
No, it's no tomatoes are fruit, not a vegetable. I know that.
Peppers. Green pepper, red pepper.
Probably yes, but it's not. It's
absolutely
a veggie.
Absolutely,
but...
it is a berry.
Yeah.
Cranberry. I know you like that in your vodka. Cranberry.
No.
I don't like it in my vodka.
I'm a cranberry guy.
Takes the vodka flavor away.
Very tart. It's probably not, but
I'm
going to say
no. I'm going to say no.
It is. A cranberry is a berry.
Well, every other berry's not been a berry.
I know. It's just very confusing. I only have three more. Pete Shepard, this is for you. Eggplant. Berry or not berry?
It's probably a berry. It's got seeds and it's got the three layers you're talking about. But
it's a berry.
Is a vegetable.
Eggplant is a berry.
Mm-hmm.
Kiwi.
Yes.
Berry.
Absolutely berry.
Yep.
How about an orange?
Berry.
Yeah, I'd say berry.
Yes, it is. Yep. Yes, it is.
Based on what you're telling me.
Based on the definition I gave you, an orange. So an orange and a banana and eggplant are all berry, watermelon berries. Strawberries and raspberries, not berries.
Not a berry.
Ridiculous, right? These are crazy times that we live in. No doubt about it.
And the Big Quinn bringing up an excellent question. How about a dingleberry?
Not a berry.
Oh, God.
No seeds in that one, Big Quinn. That's the
problem.
Not
eating it either.
That's the problem.
Not putting that on my cereal.
Stop it.
It's disgusting.
Gross.
Jingle Bell says strawberries are supposed to be white? Maybe when they get the mold on them.
No, but you've seen some of them before. You see sometimes a strawberry, you see part of it on the top usually can be more white than the red part of the berry.
You should cut that part off. Doesn't taste as good.
Yeah.
All right. That was fun, I think.
Yeah, it was.
All right, Pete, we have a short segment here because we will get away for the NHL, but I believe you also had a quiz and or a test prepared for today. I think this would be perfect timing for that right now.
All right, well, I have a couple lists, but I have a quiz. Let's do the cool down.
Hold on. I know. I know you're not prepared because
I am prepared.
I sprung it on you.
I should have punched it up during break, but I forgot to. Okay, real quick, just give me 2 seconds here.
All right, I'll vamp.
And it's not the college football quiz.
It is a college football quiz.
Yes.
Okay. All right, very good.
Might as well
by the way,
I'll just get the music going, right?
I don't think he's ready yet.
I know. I was just going to get the music going here.
I was
going
to help him out. I had some filler.
Oh, no, I got it. Here we go. Right. Actually, I had it ready. I did have it punched up, actually. Okay, so remember last week when I asked you about the top 10 passers in each of the Power 5 conferences?
Yeah, some surprising. Nailed that one. Chris,
not bad, yeah. So 60%. Today, let's see
after
how much.
Down 0-2.
Yeah.
You know about the. All right, so let's see if you know about the top rushers in each Power 5 conference history.
This is going to be tougher.
This is going to be tougher.
If you can name the all-time leader in rushing yards in each of these, go ACC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, and SEC. And bonus points if you can name what school they attended. So let's go back to front. Let's start with the SEC.
Okay.
Again, all-time career rushing leader, not touchdowns. Now, I'll give you this little nugget so you don't Yes. Ricky Williams had 6,279 yards during his time in Texas, but the Longhorns didn't switch to the Big 12 until 1996 after Williams' freshman season, so he doesn't count.
Ooh, okay, that's a big hint. Thank you.
So that's later on, but there's the SEC.
I have one
all-time leading rushing leader.
I have one in mind that I'm pretty sure, but yeah. I'll let Chris think this through before I jump in.
I mean, it's got to be Bo Jackson or Herschel Walker, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was
going to go Herschel.
Yeah.
He dominated.
I'd say Herschel.
Herschel. That's Georgia, by the way.
Yes.
Hey!
Herschel Walker.
One for
5,259 yards,
and,
SEC.
And also, one of the great lines of the match when asked Peyton Manning,
why I'm not wearing red and black.
Why do you wear red like Tiger and match a little bit? He goes, that's all I need is Kirby Smart putting me all over Georgia paraphernalia wearing that red.
All right, Pac-12, all-time rushing leader with 6,245 yards.
Pac-12. 6,245. So, like, the Colorado running back who won the Heisman in the 90s, like, he wouldn't count because Colorado was in the Big 12 at that time, right?
Right.
Yeah, this is Pac-12, yes.
I feel like Reggie Bush is too easy, right?
By the way, did you see his latest comments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how to decipher those.
I don't know how to take it. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I would say Reggie Bush, but I don't feel good about that.
No, I don't think it's Reggie. Is it an old school guy? No. Well, because it's pretty much been a passing league. As bad as they've been a passing
league.
I mean, I don't want to go back to like OJ or anybody like that, but I mean...
I'm trying to think of great running backs to come out of the Pac-12, and you got to go back to like the
Charles White, and
I mean like Marshawn.
Bingo.
What?
Oh, did you get that right? Charles White. Yes.
Charles White is it?
Yes.
No way. That's like 1980.
Yes, it is.
Well, Herschel Walker is 80 and 81, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they don't run the ball anymore. All right.
27th overall pick in the first round.
How about that?
Cleveland Browns.
Okay. We'll take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, good job.
We count that as a correct one. All right.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that was. If you stumble upon it, unlike what you do to me in Wikipedia, I'll give it to you. Big Ten all time rushing leader, 7,125 yards.
Is it Ron Dayne?
Yes.
Yes.
Boom.
I'll let both of you guys give an answer first before.
I was going to ask him or Jonathan Taylor. Ron Dayne.
You got to go Wisconsin running back for that question,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Big 12.
Big 12. I'd say Adrian.
Hold on.
Hold on one second. Let's think about this. Adrian Peterson.
With
Oklahoma.
Big 12. 5,540 yards.
I'm spitballing between two players from the same school.
Who?
Texas.
Well, remember, he said Ricky Williams does not count because Texas wasn't in the Big 12 until 98.
Ricky Williams doesn't count.
So Ricky Williams is not it, because that's where my mind went at first as well. So you go from like 2000 on.
Yeah. What about Cedric? This is
Cedric
not
Benson.
Yeah, what about Ced? That's what I was leaning him.
You agree?
It's one of those two.
It's Cedric Benson.
Is it Cedric? Okay. All right. Good job today. Good job.
All right, what's left? The ACC?
ACC.
All right, Chris, this is your wheelhouse.
And remember, Miami won't count because all of the, those great Miami teams won't count because they were in the Big East at the time.
Yes.
Wilson McGahee and all of them were the Big East?
They were all in the Big East.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Remember, Miami hadn't been to an ACC championship game until two seasons ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to run out of music.
All right.
Okay.
This is the toughest of all of them, I would probably think, yeah.
So could you go Florida State? Work Dunn was out of Florida State. Dalvin Cook comes to mind.
This is a tough one.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to who is it? A.J. Dillon at Boston College. He was really good.
Yeah.
And he was there for a while. UNC's never had any. Duke's never had any. NC State's never had any.
4,602 yards, this person from the ACC.
If you give us the school, would it give it away?
Chris, if you got this, I'd be stunned.
Okay.
Even Craig, if you got this, I would not have got this.
All right, give me the school.
NC State.
Oh, gosh. I can't even name a running back from NC State. Russell Wilson?
The only running back I could think of from NC State was like Ted Brown or somebody random like that back.
Boom!
Yeah, but you don't get that one.
I don't get that.
Brown.
I don't get that.
I give it to you.
That's pretty good. That was
Ted
tough.
Ted Brown.
That was tough.
1975 through 78 was there.
Wow,
yeah.
That is old school, man.
Yeah.
But no, he's in the
College Football Hall of Fame.
Three of the five guys we had to go pretty deep, like 40 to 50 years ago.
That's a tough one.
Amazing thing right there.
That is a tough one. And
you did well right there, Craig. I was pretty impressed with that. I'm pretty impressed. I mean, for you to pull out Cedric Benson, that was impressive. To go Cedric Benson over
Ted
Adrian.
Brown was way more harder than Cedric Benson. But I'll tell you this.
But you wouldn't have gotten that without the school.
True, true. But, see, this is my era. This is football. Running backs mattered back in my day. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also remember, and he was on a couple of really, you know, I think he was with on Ahmad Rashad with the Vikings. And I remember that Hail Mary play against the Browns that the Vikings pulled off in, it was either 1980 or 81. I forget. It was unbelievable. Kramer to Ahmad Rashad. It was like, he's, you know, one of the few touchdown passes that he caught. Actually, he wasn't as bad as people think. But this guy was the 16th overall pick in the 79 draft. So in December of 81, I'd forgotten about this. He accidentally shot himself while handling a loaded revolver. Jeez. The injury required surgery to remove a bullet and wood fragments from his upper thigh. Mm. There was a question of whether he'd be able to continue his career in football, which he did up until 86. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame and the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame.
What amazes me is that he's had this record stand for 45 years.
That's amazing. It is. It is amazing.
Nobody's beat it in 45 years of the ACC.
Well, of course, now you got keep people going to leave after 2 years.
Yeah, strike three just texted in that Delvin Cook missed the record by 138 yards.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking strong Delvin Cook. But it just comes to mind because it's more so recent, but. Wow.
Well, and I can't remember because I remember Warwick done the Falcon or the Buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Warwick done the Seminole. Was he?
He must have been.
Oh, he was real good.
But no. Okay. So he was Warwick done though. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember him as a Knoll.
Yeah.
No, he was a. Yeah. He was a really, really good player.
Only running behind the massive holes put forward by Mike Allstott. One of my favorite all-time running backs.
Yeah.
He averaged, he rushed for 3,959 yards. He averaged 6.9 yards a carry, had 37 rushing touchdowns and 12 receiving touchdowns in his career with over 1,314 yards of receiving. People remember him making the Pro Bowl, but he was Graves' 12th overall pick in 1997.
Very good quiz. I like that very much. I love talking football. All right, coming up, we want to bail out here on time so that we can come back. The NHL is going to make a major announcement here at 4:30 regarding returning to play. We want to hear all those details and discuss probably for, you know, the next 10 days. in the meantime,
Hertz Arena, come on. Semifinals, that'd be great.
In the meantime, the greatest games in NFL history presented by Affordable Air and Heat, continuing on Thursday, the AFC Championship game between Tom Brady's Patriots and Peyton Manning's Colts. Greatest games in NFL history brought to you by Affordable Air and Heat. We are affordable online at affordableairconditioningandheating.com. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Yeehaw! Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app, everybody. Woo! Yeah! All right, coming up, we are moments away. The NHL is going to make a live announcement here at 4:30-ish.
Gary Bettman.
Returning to play. How the world of hockey will look moving forward here in the very near future And as soon as Gary Bettman, the commissioner, comes to the stand, we're gonna jump in and carry this live.
It's really not now a question of who and how many games, but where.
Yeah,
I'm interested in the where and when.
And
the who I know.
What we do know is it'll be 24 teams for the playoffs. But how much regular season are we playing, if any? These are a lot of things that I want to know too. So as soon as he jumps on, we'll jump in with all of that. And, you know, this just goes around the thing over the weekend. I know Stephen Ross was very vocal, the Dolphins owner. He absolutely says football is going to happen. And they may even have fans in the stands. Of course, the Dolphins were one of the first ones to put forth a plan with social distancing and fewer fans and various models.
Also, and on that note, Craig, too, Iowa State became the first to answer what its plans are, though the school left open the possibility things could change. Jamie Pollard wrote to fans today, announcing the school will limit the number of fans at Cyclone home games, citing current guidelines and state-by-state officials. Pollard said Jack Trice Stadium, which seats 61,500, will open its gates to 30,000 fans in 2020.
And along those lines, Purdue president and former Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says that we will have students on campus in the fall. And they're working diligently to make sure that social distancing and everything that is needed, that is required, will take place. But they will be there. So you would presume if they are going to be there, that means football players could be there as well. So far, I'm hearing everybody in the Big Ten is going to play, but Michigan.
And I know we're going to get to the press conference in a sec, but John Heyman just came out today. It says MLB has conveyed its first proposal to players. MLB has dropped the revenue-sharing idea and is offering to pay players a percentage of their prorated pay, not the full 100%. It's a sliding scale with the more expensive players taking bigger hits.
I also heard other proposals out there that the baseball players could defer their income to like 2021. That seems to appease the players, although I don't really understand the weeds, getting in the weeds of that.
Like, Heyman goes on to say, by offering to pay less expensive players a higher percentage of their prorated salary, more players may like this plan. However, the biggest stars would take some rather large pay cuts, even per game. A few on players' side are suggesting it's an attempt to divide the union.
It's exactly what the NFL did. You're taking the haves and the have-nots and having them vote against each other. It's exactly what they're doing. Right out of the NFL playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Well, should be getting this press conference should be starting any second.
Yep. Of course, we all know the NHL paused play on March 12th, and then they let them all go home on March 16th and go where they wanted. They're all self-quarantining for a couple of weeks, and here we are now, Memorial Day weekend, and we're trying to get this thing going.
Another bit of good news, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp says he's very optimistic about high school football restarting in the fall.
Yeah, we don't talk about that much. I mean, but you're absolutely right. That'd be great. You assume if college kids could go back to campus, high school kids could go back. And look, I'm anticipating kids around here being able to go back to high school in actual classrooms in the fall. I haven't heard anything contrary to that, but I mean, these are all the things that we're taking a look at here.
Yep. So again, I'm going to be very interested to see the where and the when the NHL season will start. Well, here we go right now.
All right, here's Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL.
Announced the National Hockey League's plans for our resumption of play, the format of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs, and how we will conduct the 2020 NHL draft lottery. Before I get into the details, I want to make clear that the health and safety of our players, coaches, essential support staff, and our communities are paramount. While nothing is without risk, ensuring health and safety has been central to all of our planning so far and will remain so. Let me assure you that the reason we are doing this is because our fans are telling us in overwhelming numbers that they want us to complete the season, if at all possible. And our players and our teams are clear that they want to play and bring the season to its rightful conclusion. Although we are anxious to get back on the ice, we will not do anything until we are assured by medical professionals and the relevant government authorities that it is safe and prudent to do so. I want to thank Executive Director Don Fear, Special Assistant to the Executive Director Matthew Schneider, and all members of the NHL Players Association, particularly players Ron Hainsey, Connor McDavid, Mark Scheifele, John Tavares, and James Van Riemsdyk, who were part of our joint return to play committee. It took a great deal of collaborative effort to get where we are today, and their insight, input, wisdom, and passion for our game and its traditions were essential to the process that produced the plan I'll now outline. I also want to thank Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly and league staff and medical personnel who worked tirelessly to craft this plan, and the members of the NHL Board of Governors who once again put aside personal preferences to approve a plan that we believe is fair to all of the teams and our best option under the circumstances. It will enable the best playoffs in all the sports to honor our history and produce a champion worthy of claiming the most treasured trophy in all of sports. Now to our return to play plan. When the given go ahead from the medical experts and the relevant government authorities is given, 24 of our 31 teams will resume play, the top 12 in each conference as ranked by percentage points from our standings as they stood through the games of March 11th when we paused our season as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The remaining seven teams will enter the draft lottery, which I will discuss in detail later. For purposes of nomenclature, record keeping and NHL awards, the 2019-20 regular season has been deemed to be completed. We will resume play and conduct the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs in two hub cities that will be identified and announced at a later date. One will be the site for the resuming Eastern Conference clubs. The other will play host to the resuming Western Conference clubs. Each will have secure arenas, practice facilities, hotels, and local transportation for our players, coaches, and essential staff. We expect that our clubs will be permitted to travel a maximum of 50 personnel to their hub city. A very limited number of support staff will be able to access the event level at each venue. A comprehensive system of testing will be in place in each hub city. We are currently in phase one of our pause, during which clubs have been instructed to self-isolate as much as possible and have done so. In early June, we expect to be able to enter phase two, during which clubs can return to their individual practice facilities for voluntary small group on and off ice training. Yesterday, we released a comprehensive protocol that will govern how we will operate in phase two. Phase three of our return to play plan will be the opening of formal training camps. The timing of our entry into phase three again will be determined by guidance from medical and civil authorities. While we are anxious to open camps as soon as possible, we don't envision doing so before the first half of July. Finally, when appropriate, we will move to phase four, in which our participating clubs will report to their respective hub cities and we will resume play. Obviously, we anticipate playing over the summer and into the early fall. At this time, we are not fixing dates because the schedule of our return to play will be determined both by developing circumstances and the needs of our players. For various reasons, we are also not announcing at this time which two cities will serve as our hubs. Things are evolving rapidly, and when we decide on locations, we want it to be on the best available information at the time that we need to make that determination. In the meantime, I can say we have narrowed the choices to a number of cities that, as of today, include Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. There are no shortage of candidates that can help us do this. Again, the final determination will depend on COVID-19 conditions, testing availability, and government regulations. The top four teams in each conference will claim automatic berths in the first round of the playoffs. They will play intra-conference round robins, each playing the other three teams to determine their respective seeds in the first round. These games will be played with regular season overtime and shootout rules, with ties in the final standings broken by regular season points percentage. The remaining eight teams in each conference will play in best of five qualifying round series to determine which four in each conference advance to the first round of the playoffs. The matchups for these series, again, are based on points percentage at the time of the pause. These games will be played with playoff overtime rules. Once the round robin and qualifying rounds are completed, we will conduct conference-based playoffs in each hub city. The winners of the qualifying round robins will advance to the first round, with each opposing one of the round robin teams. Since we have endeavored to be sensitive to players' preferences, the matchups for the first round series remain to be set, as the return to play committee is still discussing whether to determine them through seeding or via a bracket. In addition, the return to play committee is still discussing the lengths of the first and second round series and whether the second round matchups will be determined through seeding or via bracket. In any scenario, the conference finals and Stanley Cup final will be best of seven. The sites of the conference finals and Stanley Cup final remain to be determined, although based on what we know today, we expect those series to be played in one of the two hub cities. We believe we can get the qualifying and first two rounds of the playoffs completed in little over a month. Here are the 12 teams that will be resuming play in the Eastern Conference and assigned to Hub City 1.
Listening to Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL.
These are the 12 clubs that will be resuming play in the Western Conference and assigned to Hub City 2.
By the way, this is St. Louis, Colorado, Vegas, Dallas, Edmonton, Nashville, Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Arizona, and Chicago.
Yep.
In the Eastern Conference, the top four teams by points percentage at the time of the pause who will play round-robin games to determine their playoff seeding are the Boston Bruins, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Washington Capitals, and the Philadelphia Flyers. The qualifying round series matchups in the Eastern Conference are as follows. Number 5 Pittsburgh Penguins versus number 12 Montreal Canadiens. Number 6 Carolina Hurricanes versus number 11 New York Rangers. Number 7 New York Islanders versus number 10 Florida Panthers. And number 8 Toronto Maple Leafs versus number 9 Columbus Blue Jackets. In the Western Conference, the top four teams by points percentage at the time of the pause who will play round-robin games to determine their playoff seeding are the St. Louis Blues, the Colorado Avalanche, the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Dallas Stars. The qualifying round series matchups in the Western Conference are as follows. Number 5 Edmonton Oilers versus number 12 Chicago Blackhawks. Number 6 Nashville Predators versus number 11 Arizona Coyotes. Number 7, Vancouver Canucks versus number 10, Minnesota Wild. And number 8, Calgary Flames versus number 9, Winnipeg Jets. Now to the 2020 NHL Draft Lottery. This is a bit complicated, as if what I've already told you hasn't been, and I apologize for that. The draft lottery will determine which clubs make the first three selections.
This is Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, talking about the draft plan.
And we get all the meat and potatoes. Don't want to give people a popsicle headache with the draft lottery, but we got the meat and potatoes of it, which is exactly what we thought. The only thing missing is the two hub cities, which I understand. And I just got, before he said that, a buddy of mine who's connected with a couple of NHL players told me that Columbus was absolutely going to be one of those cities. And in fact, Gary Bettman just announced that they are a possibility. Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Vegas, LA, Minnesota, Pitt, Toronto, and Vancouver.
Yeah.
So pick two of those, whatever.
Yeah. Somebody texted something interesting. I mean, maybe they have the NBA plans made it more difficult for the NHL to lock down their city. I mean, all we really got out of it, and we already knew, this is probably going to be a 24-team tournament. What we learned here is that if you're not in the 24, you're done. Your season's over. Season's complete. Stats are complete. Done. You just get ready for the lottery. That's a piece of information we learned. We learned that the
Red
cities
and a few others.
Yeah, and we learned the cities that you just mentioned that they're still considering, and he really wasn't able to lay forth any dates. The closest he got was phase three when they can open up formal training camps. He says that will not be earlier than July 15th. Heck, they're going to play.
No, July 1st. He said.
Are you sure?
I thought
he said no earlier than mid-July. Nope.
He said on the screen, it was written down July 1st. He said no. He says we're not anticipating before, you know, the
mid-July.
The earliest
you can start is July 1st. It may not happen until after that, but the earliest you can start
is July 1st. So we're going to play late summer and into the fall, and he wants to complete the playoff series once we get through all this first four bye and all that kind of stuff. What does this do now to next season? We've already talked about the NBA maybe not starting until Christmas. I mean, NHL starts before NBA in beginning of October, right? That's out the window now, and I'm wondering how they adjust their.
Well, no, not beginning of October. More.
The NBA plays.
But regardless, it's a short preseason. Whatever it is, you start exhibition games in September.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, right now I don't see the Stanley Cup final being before October under this setup. But
I think September is looking about the end of September is the best case scenario right now for the NHL.
Yeah.
What I like about this, though, is the way that they're setting up the bracket, because one of the big things that we've heard from the NBA is contending teams don't want to just jump in to playoff basketball. They want to have a couple games to kind of get their legs under them, and taking the top four teams in this format where you got 12 from each conference, taking the top four and letting them play a round robin so that they're not at a competitive disadvantage, I guess, letting them kind of ease back into it. Now, you're easing back into it in those games because they don't mean anything.
Right.
Versus the other teams, they're actually playing playoff hockey at that point.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, real competitive playoff hockey, because they're going to be the eight best teams that are playing in the round robin event. Not that a 12 seed like the Canadiens can't upset the Penguins, but you know, I'm just afraid. And hey, I'm just happy to play in. But the Tampa Bay, the Bruins, Washington, Philadelphia, they wear themselves out. And same with St. Louis, Colorado, Vegas, and Dallas in the top four in the West, wear themselves out trying to be the number one seed after this little round robin tournament. But anyway, that'll probably be some of the best hockey is those round robin games.
Yeah. All right. Well, again,
I'm surprised Tampa Bay is not a city. That's the only thing that surprised me. I'm not surprised Dallas is, because we said Texas. But I'm surprised that Tampa Bay is not a city.
Yeah.
You might look at, you know, maybe Tampa Bay doesn't want to have to give up that many hotels, you know, where they're hurting for tourism and they want people actually paying for those hotel rooms. I don't know. I'm spitballing. And then the only thing that I didn't hear right now, and maybe it's put out when they, you know, release all the details, is they said that there would be ample testing, but they didn't say when.
Right.
They didn't say players are tested upon arrival in their host city. They're then tested every 72 hours. They're then tested every week. They didn't go into specifics on testing, which is something that I wanted to see. And I was looking forward to that.
And on the short list of hub cities, there's a couple in Canada. So that surprised me too, because Canada just is still having a strict border control.
Edmonton and Vancouver, the two, and Toronto, three cities. Yeah. Now, Toronto, I mean, Vancouver is very popular. Edmonton's a little more isolated, so to speak, in Alberta, but certainly Vancouver and Toronto are very populous cities, no question about that.
And looking at the cities, you know, you match who's in the playoffs and who could potentially host an entire conference. I believe where Los Angeles is the only city that doesn't have a team in the playoffs, unless I missed Dallas. That was the only one that I didn't see as well. Yeah. So I was thinking, is that a competitive advantage at all if you're the host city, the comfort of home? There's no fans, though, so I guess it's not something that should make or break the decision.
All right, we're running a little late because of this. We'll come back. You know, I'm going to throw in a little light Wikipedia, Chris versus Pete, and when we come back, it'll be a short segment. We'll come back and reset everything.
What's our topic today?
Well, I'll tell you when we come back. How about
that? Okay,
fine. All right, I have it. And then at 5 o'clock, we'll reset this breaking news with the NHL and maybe get more into the match over the weekend if you watch Tiger and Phil and company. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, here we go. We're going to pick Chris versus Pete because, alas, our phones are down day 8 or whatever. Told maybe tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah, let's just not count.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to do a little fun short segment here, a little ear candy for you, and then at 5 o'clock get right back into the latest breaking news with the NHL. All right, here we go. So, initially, this was John Wayne's birthday. I was going to do John Wayne trivia, but then I figured this would be patently unfair for Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, Pete, you would do okay, but I thought Chris wouldn't have a chance.
Nope.
Mm. So I decided to lighten it up a little bit here. In honor of John Wayne's birthday, 1907, by the way, he'd be 113.
1907.
Yeah, it was that. I decided to do guys named John trivia.
Oh, that's fun.
So this will be much easier.
That's great. Awesome.
In fact, I'm going to handicap these. I prepared 10 questions. You guys, between the two of you, if you get less than 9 out of 10 right, I'm gonna lose respect. And this goes both ways. So
now, when you say John, are we talking nicknames where a John might be Jack? Or does that count? Or, you know, strictly John?
Question number one for Chris.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
Chris, who played Danny Zuko in Grease?
John Travolta.
Very good.
Hey.
You got to ding yourself. Where's the dinger?
You ding yourself.
You got to ding yourself.
My mom said I'd go blind doing that.
Oh, geez. All right, that's 1-0 for Chris. There you go. All right, Pete, here you go. Here's your first question.
Yep.
Give me the name of the former senator from Arizona who lost the presidential election to Barack Obama in 2008.
That'd be the late, great John McCain.
That is correct. We're tied at 1. So far, so good. Chris. Man, I can't read my writing on. I scribbled all these down. Hold on. Oh, okay. Yeah. Who assassinated Abraham Lincoln?
John Wilkes Booth.
There you go. Yay. Ding yourself. All right, Pete Shepard. Mm-hmm. The actor who played Bluto on...
John Belushi.
Yeah, there you go.
Animal House.
Animal House. Thank you. All right, so far you guys are perfect. Let's see. This is for Chris. Who's a singer whose signature song was Take Me Home, Country Road?
John Cougar Mellencamp?
No, Chris.
This show.
John Denver.
John Denver. Denver. Oh, no.
John Denver. See, I told you John Denver sucks so bad that even you can't remember a layup question.
No.
That is a myth. That would have been for the win.
Well, we'll be coming back with that. Don't worry.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Did it to yourself.
Wow. Pete Shepard for the win.
Gosh.
Yep.
It's embarrassing.
Who played Dan Connor in Roseanne?
Oh, John Goodman.
And that's the win for Pete Shepard.
Sugar plums.
Boy, that was a real choke job,
I know,
Chris.
I know.
Any more?
Yeah.
Well, you spoke too quickly, which happens on this show a lot.
Well, I was thinking
on this segment.
That was no excuses. Yep. Play like a champion. Rule number 473.
Well, hold on. I got 4 more questions left. I told you, you guys, I handicapped this. You should have got 9 out of 10 right. Now, Chris.
Well, we can still.
Chris put us in the hole, but we can still do it. This is for both of you, I guess.
Yep.
The 35th president of the United States.
I'm going to overthink this. Hang on. Oh, it's not. John Kennedy, no?
Yes. Yeah. JFK. That's a John. Yeah. That was your John or Jack question you asked me earlier.
Yep. Yes.
Famous tractor company.
John Deere.
There you
John
go. Let's see here. The composer from themes for movies like Jaws.
John Williams.
There you go. And the final question to make it 9 out of 10. Can read my writing.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Pete will get this. Former senator from down by the harbor in Massachusetts.
John Kerry.
Yes.
Hey!
You did! You did it! 9 out of 10.
And wait a second. I got 10. Well, we got 10 out of 10 because Chris missed it, but I knew it was John Denver, so that's kind of 10 out of 10.
I know, but he missed. That was on the clock, an official one. Chris blew it.
I blew it. We got 9 There's out no of 10. Doubt about that. I blew
it. It was John Denver. We spent 3 weeks talking about John Denver on the show. He's on Craig's list of hatred.
I'm not going to. I didn't.
Ridiculous.
Did I?
No.
No.
Pretty quick.
You got an answer, you give it. Mm. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong.
Very good. All right. Nice.
Oh, man. I'm 0-1 on Wikipedia.
How about that? It'll eat at you. You won't Domination. Sleep tonight.
I know. I kind of hope the phones are still broken tomorrow just so I can try to redeem myself.
All right. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, it is the Hot Take 5 o'clock hour, the latest breaking news from the National Hockey League, in case you missed it.
I got odds out there. Odds just came out, too, to win the 2014 Stanley Cup playoff. Some good values here.
Yeah, all right. We got all that coming up. Stay with the Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.